In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I wonder how many will agree with me that have observed our churches lately that something must be done. I mean, we have reached a place where something has to be done. I'm sorry to say, but nearly everywhere I go, there is a low spiritual current. Everywhere I go, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, churches are on the downhill move instead of the uphill. Everywhere I go, there is a need for a shaking. Something that will awake us out of our sleep and our slumber, and once again will inspire us with new inspiration to work for God. The disciples had been persecuted. They had been threatened because they were preaching the word of God. But they gathered back together. And the Bible says, "And when they had prayed." You hear it? "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness." It would take the FBI to catch some folks praying that call themselves Christians. Amen? But when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Oh, how this church world needs to be shook. How we need a shaking. I'm going to pin it right on down how the Calvary Holiness people need a shaking of the Spirit. Now, I don't want us to mistake rattle for revival. Don't mistake a rattle for revival. But I'm talking about a shaking of the Spirit. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken." Not after they had ate the big supper. No, not after they'd had their ice cream social. Amen. Not after they'd shouted and run and jumped the benches. Come on now. Not after the big preacher got up and delivered his message that everybody was waiting to hear. Not after the entertainers got through entertaining. But oh, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. I am determined to believe today that we have become unplugged from the source of power. And we now have a power failure on our hands because something has broken down the source of strength. And that source of strength can be traced, amen, back to our lack of seeking the face of God. We want to be entertained. We want something that will amuse us. We want some kind of preacher that has a lot of new jokes and lots of new humor that will keep us laughing in our seats. And we'll leave out saying, "I sure did enjoy that." But what I want to know, was you shaken in your spirit? Did you have a desire after the service to get closer to God? Was there something there that put boldness in your soul for the Lord? You'll have to agree with me. We have a power failure. And when contact is lost with the main source of power, electrician back there, correct me if I'm wrong, But when contact is lost with the main source of power, there is no way to avoid a power failure. Am I right? Amen. We are to shine as lights in a darkened world. Amen. We are to be as a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, yes. But the Bible said after this visitation of the Spirit of God, after the church had prayed, the Bible said in Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. But it seems that we have become unplugged. We're like Peter that was walking on the water to go to Jesus. Amen. He was doing all right till he got unplugged from the source of power. And he had a power failure. And he began to go down. And oh, I'm sorry to say this, but I see the holiness people sinking, sinking, sinking. We're going to have to get back on these knees. And we're going to have to seek the face of God until once again there's a shaking in our souls and in our midst. We would rather be entertained than to have the presence and the power of God. And some of our preachers, bless their hearts, I love every one of them, but they're running to every bookstore trying to get the latest humor in spirituality. I know this to be a fact. Amen. Everywhere they go, they run to see if they can find a new book of wit and salt and pepper. Amen. And some kind of new sayings that they can spice their sermons. But oh, listen, we'll never bypass a source of power and have power. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Someone told me, said, Brother Rich, there's a lot of things coming into our churches. Well, now, you don't have to tell me that. Some things I can't see, but some things I can see. You know, I can see jewelry. Come on now, don't quit me. I can see nipping and snipping. Hey, man, I can see a lot of things that is happening. Now, hold on, don't quit me, preachers. But this is a lack of having spiritual power in the church of the living God. But oh, I believe we can get plugged back in. Jesus said in John 15:15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Then he further declared, amen, in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done. And the disciples, when that man brought his lunatic son that was casting his boy in the fire, he brought them to Jesus' disciples. And the Bible said they could do nothing. Power failure. These were men who was associated with Jesus. These were men who had slept with him, ate with him at the table. These were men that Jesus had given them power over unclean spirits. But they had a power failure. Here was a man with his son who threw him through this spirit that was in this boy, would throw him into the fire. He would gnash his teeth and foam at the mouth. And he felt like if he could get his son to the disciples, Jesus' close followers, surely they could do something. But the Bible said they could do nothing. I wonder how many's coming to our services lately having needs that needed to be met. And we could do nothing because we lacked that source of power and strength. Woo! Hallelujah. Help me while I preach here. The black preacher preached a humorous sermon that has become a rather well-known sermon out in our country. The black preacher preached on "There's a Dead Cat on the Line." Now, that was his sermon title. Hey, man, there's a dead cat on the line. And he told about a power failure in a certain area. They checked it out. Nobody could find the problem. And finally, someone spotted one day, as a workman spotted, that up where the transformers and the fuses were, a cat had somehow managed to get up in there, somehow got tangled up and died, and was shorting things out. And the black preacher said, "If you can't get your call through, there's a dead cat on the line." And I'm afraid today, if we can't get our call through, amen, there's something that's happened. Oh, brother, but when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Oh, how I'd like to see this place shaken today by the power of the Holy Ghost. But it won't just happen by itself. It'll happen, Brother Michael, whenever we get plugged back in to the power source. We can write volumes of books on the subject, but until we get plugged back in, woo, hallelujah, we're not going to have a shaking. But brother, when they had prayed, not when the lady that could sing just like Vestal Goodman sang, come on now, not when the one that had on the fanciest dress and attire sang, but when they had prayed. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all not feeling as good as I am. But when they had prayed, amen, that plugged them into the source of power. And when they had prayed, that place began to shake. And everyone that was assembled there had a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, they'd already been to the upper room. They'd already received a baptism. But when they had prayed, the Holy Ghost came upon them and fell upon them, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. I wonder how many has received the Holy Ghost. Let's see your hand. Well, we've got to make another trip back. Remember Brother Leroy Watkins. Some of you may know him. He's a preacher, holiness preacher. Pastors a church now, I believe, out in around Tulsa, Oklahoma. Brother Leroy was saved on the first night of my revival. On the last night of my revival, he went through Brother Hall to a glorious baptism in the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I had to close out. I'd been there, I believe, 4 weeks with Brother Tolliver at Brother Tommy Tolliver's church. I had to close out and go somewhere else for another revival. On the regular prayer meeting night, Wednesday night, I got home from the place where I was preaching. And about midnight, my phone rang. I picked it up, and it was Brother Leroy, the boy that had gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in my revival. Said, "Brother Rich?" I said, "Yes." He said, "This is Brother Leroy. I thought I'd call and tell you that I went to church, and I got the Holy Ghost again tonight." I said, "You did?" He said, "I sure did." Well, I didn't think too much about it, just encouraged him. But on Saturday night, when they had another regular service, long about midnight, my phone rang. I picked it up. Yes, it was Leroy. He said, "I got it again tonight." Sunday night, he called. Said, "Brother Rich, I called you back to tell you I got it again tonight." I told him, I said, son, get it every time you go to church. Get it again and again and again. And that's what's happened. Amen. Sure, we've been filled with the power. But somehow the cares of this life and worldly things and material things have disconnected us from the power source. Let's go back and pray until we get it again, afresh and anew. In Acts, the 16th chapter, there was two missionaries by the name of Paul and Silas. They were out preaching the Word of God. There followed after them a young girl who was possessed with a fortune-telling devil. Yes, Bible readers know I'm preaching, right? Amen. And she was not saying the wrong thing. She was saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who have came to shew unto us the way of salvation. But it was a wrong spirit. And God don't need the devil's powder to shoot his gun. You hear me? He can't use the devil's powder to shoot his gun. Paul tolerated it for a while, maybe because a young girl was so young, and she realized it, and he realized that she was being used by wicked and evil men. She really had a hold of the devil. And the devil was able to reveal to her, amen, the future of men and women's lives. And the devil was using her. But after a while, Paul turned around and he rebuked that spirit. Amen. And brought the devil out of her. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, when they couldn't make no more money, amen, off of this poor woman, they had those two holiness preachers, amen, cast into the Philippian jail. They charged that jailer. And so great was the charge that after he had beaten them with many stripes, amen, he cast them into the inner prison. Put them back there in the darkest dungeon. Put them in the darkest hole. Put them in the most concealed and secluded place in the prison. But the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. You hear it? At midnight, Paul. No, there's just two of them. They wasn't in an argument. Amen. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Oh, at midnight, at the midnight hour, in the dark hour. And oh, brothers and sisters of mine, after many, many times of carrying the gospel and opening this sacred book, I have never seen it when it's more of a midnight hour than it is in this hour. I say the problem is our lack of prayer before God. We want to eat, and I love to eat too. Amen. We want to have fun, and I like to have some fun too. We want a fellowship, and I like to have some fellowship too. But in the process, we've got so carried away with that that we've lost contact with the source of power. But the Bible still says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Oh, can't you see the low state we're in? Can't you see the valley we're in? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles. Let's get up a little higher. Well, at midnight, they begin to pray and sing praises unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. But not only did the prisoners hear them, but God heard them. Oh, yes. A lot of folks says they just sing. And I love good gospel singing. I think they go hand in hand, but they prayed and sang praises. And the writer put prayer before praise. And if you ever have a true praise in your heart, you'll have to put prayer before your praise. I hear a lot of praises. I was in a church not too long ago, and they believed in a different form of worship altogether, amen, than we do, but it was just a sound like a tinkling brass or sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Their worship didn't amount to anything. And the leader, a few of them had their hands up like this, and the leader said, "Oh no, you got your hands up wrong. Turn your hands like this so you can receive all the blessings." I'm going to tell you something. If those hands are not holy hands, it doesn't matter which way you turn them, you'll not receive a blessing from the Lord. But God said in His Word, "I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting." Oh, what we need to do, let's call a prayer meeting and see if we can't get plugged back in to the source of power. Young people, if you ever want to live a victorious Christian life, you're going to have to pray. And I know a little bit about young people. Yes, I've pastored churches that had over 40 teenagers in the church. So I know a little bit about teenagers. I remember one time when my young people's director, unbeknownst to me, had got up a big trip for all my teenagers and going to take them. I was pastoring in Kansas City. He's going to take them to St. Louis to Six Flags. I didn't know it. Sometimes they can hide things from the pastor for a while. I didn't know it. I mean, they was gathering up money, getting it all together, and finally, I found out about it. I said, "I'm sorry, but we're not going to Six Flags." One of the deacons, have to be careful, his tape may get there, but it's true anyhow. His son-in-law was a youth leader. And so he got upset because I stopped the trip. I said, "All right, we'll have a board meeting." And before my board, I said, "Gentlemen, I am the pastor of this church, brethren. Now, as long as I am pastor, that bus that says Wyandotte Tabernacle Holiness Church Pastor Don Rich will not go to Six Flags with those young people. But now if you're determined to go over and above and beyond me, it will be after I give you my resignation. But you are not going." Well, it got tight, but it was right. Sometimes I wish I had that black man with me. Amen. There in Oklahoma City, every time you'd preach a little holiness, he'd say, "It's tight, but it's right." And sometimes I wish I could carry him with me. Amen. So he could holler out, "It's tight, but it's right." Well, it got tight. And for three or four services, it really dampened the spirit. That spirit. I started a tent revival out of Kansas City. And I was coming home from that tent revival one night, and I passed close to the church, close enough to the church that I could see the lights were on at the church, and it was between 12 and 1 o'clock. Well, somebody must have left the lights on the church. I better go by and turn out them lights. When I got there, what I saw, Brother Bruce Veal, the young men had decided, since they couldn't go to Six Flags, they'd get together and have a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. When I walked in that door, some were laying out in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Others were rejoicing. Some were shouting. Amen. Some were praising God. Amen. The glory of God was all around. Amen. Some were rolling in the floor. I walked in and I looked around. And brother, I couldn't help but join them and worship with them. Finally, they called on this leader to be their spokesman. A few nights later, he stood in the church and said, "We got upset at Brother Rich because he would not let us go to Six Flags. And the young people have asked me to stand and apologize to Brother Rich." And he said, "The reason we have changed our mind," said, "we've been having prayer meetings. And we found out if you get enough of the Spirit of God, you don't want the things of the world. That's why our young people are going to the world. We don't have enough of the power and enough of the Spirit of God in the church to entice them. We don't have enough of the Holy Ghost, amen, to move upon them." But when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled. Woo! When you're filled, brother, can't hold no more. Can anybody stand and say, "I am full"? Well, Micah could. The prophet Micah. He said, "I am full of this power." And it can only happen when we pray. Say, "Well, I believe they could have got somebody else to preach this meeting today that would have had us laughing." Do we need to laugh? Or do we need to get serious? Can't you see your children being taken on alcohol and drugs and sex? Can't you see your young'uns even at 10, 11, 12 years old, amen, going the ways of the world? Can't you see what's happening? I'll tell you what we need. We need to plug back in to the source of power. Hallelujah. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. My Lord, I'd like to see God reach down with his hand like he took that old Philippian in jail and begin to shake this place and its very foundations. Woo. When you got a shorted outline, you may do good for a while. Samson did. Yeah, he did good for a while, even though he had a short. Because that power would come on him at times, the Bible says. At times. And some folks think, because they get in a good service and hear good singing like we heard today, amen, like, are you underneath the fountain? I know I've been born again. And amen, the other songs that we're singing here today, and they get to patting their feet, they think that they really got a hold of something. But wait a minute. Samson was used by God. Are you going to quit me here? But I can prove it from this book. He was used by God when he was not doing right. Now you can look at it, read it, and see if I'm not telling you right. He had shook so many times, and when he would shake, the power would come on him. That's why he picked up that jawbone of that ass and slew 1,000 men. The power came on him. He shook, and when that young lion roared out against him, he tore it apart. But he kept dabbling with Delilah. He met a woman in the valley of Sorek who became his downfall. And he got him a haircut in the wrong barber shop. You hear me? I said he got him a haircut in the wrong barber shop. Amen. Delilah discovered the source of his power. You see, that's what the Philistines wanted to know. Amen. What is the source of thy strength? Amen. Folks have looked at the holiness people down through the years, and they've wondered how we can walk through such a sinful world and live sanctified and pure. They wondered how we could have joy in the valley of sorrow. They wondered how we could weep and still rejoice at the same time. Amen. It's because we had a source of strength. They wanted to know Samson's source of strength. Not that they could obtain, but that they could rob him of it. But the Philistines could not do one thing with Samson until they first robbed him of his power with God. And the devil can't do one thing with the church until the church is first robbed of its power with God. Yeah, what is your source, Samson? We often wonder what people's source of strength is. Amen. Sometimes we see ugliest man married to a prettiest woman. Come on. Come on. I wonder what she's seen in him. Don't you worry, somewhere there's something that she liked. A source of strength there somewhere, some quality about him, and vice versa. Amen. I don't see what he's seen in her. Well, there's a source of strength there. Amen. And Samson had a source of strength. He would shake himself, and the Spirit of the Lord would come mightily upon him. But he went back to the harlot's house one time too many. He went and played and played too long one time. You hear me? Amen. He fooled around in that with that source that was taking his power. And she cried, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he shook himself. But there was a power failure. And they took Samson. Now I want you to see the church here. How much more time have I got? They took Samson, and here's what they did with him, Brother Lightfoot. The first thing they did with Samson is they bound him. They took his liberty away from him. And that's what's happened in the church. The first thing the devil does is bind us with things and takes our liberty away from us. You can't hardly lift your hands today and say hallelujah, can you? Brother Johnson, can you lift your hands and say hallelujah? That's the first thing they did. They took and bound him. The next thing they did was they punched out his eyes. They took his vision away from him. And I'm sorry to say, but our holiness people can't see past their noses. They can't see that there's a lost world out there dying. They can't see that there's sinners out there that's hungry for the things of the Spirit. The devil's taken our vision away from us. Punched his eyes out. Yes, they did. He couldn't see. Took his vision away. Have people tell me all the time, "Well, Brother Rich, I just don't believe God expects that out of you. You're getting older now. You ought to just ease off and lay down and rest a while." Amen. Take it easy. After all, God don't expect you to run here and there and preach every night. I'll tell you why you feel that way. Why don't you take a little time and have them tell me, "I got a summer home down here on the lake. You and your wife will give you the key. You can go down and stay about a month and just relax. And in that month's time, how much ground is the devil going to gain where I need to be preaching the Word of God?" But we've lost our vision. Why do you go into foreign countries, preach to people who've never heard the gospel, amen, sit down at a table and eat food that's not fit for human consumption. Monkey meat and iguana lizards. Amen. Green bananas cooked in fish juice. You ought to try some of that stuff sometime. But why do you do it? Because the devil don't have eyes put out yet. I've still got a vision for the lost and the dying. I'm still willing to preach the word. I'm taking too long. The next thing they did to Samson, they put him to grinding at the mill. Now look, you say, not me. Yeah, that's right where homeless people are at. Grinding. Round and around and around and around and around and around and around, grinding, 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 but we're not accomplishing anything for the kingdom of God. I say it's because there is a lack of spiritual power. But when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Now listen. Then the next thing they did to Samson was mock him. There's the man they used to have. There's the old has-been. He used to have power with God. He used to make us afraid every time he come around. Why, one time he even let us bind him, laid down in our arms and let us bind him. He had so much power, he shook himself and broke the cords as if they were nothing. We tied him to the gate. And the gate couldn't hold him. But look at him now. No power. So, come here, Donnie. So they decided that they'd mock him even farther. I'm wondering how many's mocking the Holiness Church. Saying they used to have it. Oh, they used to could pray and their sick would be healed. They used to could pray and sinners would be convicted. They used to could pray a revival down out of heaven. And souls would shout and be sanctified and be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues and magnify God. But they mock us now. They mock Samson. And to further their mockings, they threw a big dinner. And they called in all the queens and those of high society. And they said, now we're going to bring that champion out and let him make sport. And to make him look even worse, we're going to let a little child lead him out. That great champion. But we're going to take a little child and let him lead him out. But what they didn't know, that little child was going to become the missing link that would get Samson plugged back in to the source of power. Oh, yes, young people, you might be the missing link. Oh, they mocked him. They drank. They danced. There's no telling what all was going on there. The lewdness from history is beyond. We think there's something new today. Just old sins and new clothes, that's all. Amen. Nothing new. Just old sins and new clothes. So, they mocked him. And finally, Samson said to the little child, this building's being supported by two pillars. Lead me to those pillars. And oh, if there ever was a time the church needs to get back to the pillars. Not pillows, but pillars. You hear me? The pillars, which is the groundwork of the truth, the thing that supports, said, lead me to the pillars. And the little child took him by the hand and led him to the pillars. And Samson said to the child, I got unplugged, son. That's why my eyes are put out. That's why you're leading me. But I believe there's still a source of power there. Would you take this hand and put it around one of those pillars? And then come over here, son, I can't see. And take this other hand and wrap it around that other pillar. And the child, amen, showed Samson where the pillars was at. Young people, I'm preaching to you today, amen, that God is counting on you. Some of the older ones have just about died out. Don't you quit me now. Yes, some of them when their hair, don't run off, Donnie. Some of them when their hair turned white like mine, amen, and they started drawing their retirement check, they thought they could retire from the choir, retire from prayer meeting, retire from support of the church, retire from everything. There is no discharge. Brother Roger, hope I don't run that tape out. I felt like God wanted me to tell you. And that little boy, just a child, became the missing link. When Samson got a hold of those pillars, he said, Lord, hear me just this once. One more time. I remember how you used to bless me. But oh, I want to feel that power one more time. I remember when I picked up that jawbone and slew that thousand. Oh, let that same spirit come on me. Hear me this once. And avenge me of my eyes. It was those Philistines that took my vision away. But oh, let me feel your power one more time. And then, yeah, the church is still going to have to do their part. And in the Spirit of the Lord, it was that same Spirit that helped him when he slew the thousand. It came back on him again. But the Bible said, Samson bowed himself with all of his might. I believe the blood vessels was popping out of his head. I believe he was putting everything he had into it, even though the Spirit of God was upon him. The Bible said he bowed with all of his might, and when he did, he tore the devil's playhouse down. Could it be that we can get blood back in once again? And God would visit us one more time. Woo! And we could tear the devil's playhouse down. Hallelujah. Listen. The Bible said those that Samson slew in his death was more than all he slew in his lifetime. Could it be that somehow God would visit us again? And the great impact the holiness people have had on the world, we could feel that same spirit once again would make us say no to sin and the devil. Amen. I believe we can have it if we're willing to bow ourselves with all of our might. Not too many people are willing to put their all into it. Amen. Amen. There are not too many people willing to put everything they've got into it. I'm going to tell you this morning, for the last 30 years and right here again this morning, I'm putting every bit of strength I have into it. I'm putting all I've got into it. Now, the Bible said that that victory that Samson won in his death was greater. How was it greater? And you say, well, I don't know whether Samson was saved or not. Oh, yes. Look in the 11th chapter book of Hebrews, and you'll find him there. Yeah, sure he was. He got plugged back in. But here's how Samson became greater and won a greater victory. It was Samson who had always pampered Samson. He had always looked out for Samson. He had always got Samson anything he wanted. And even his mom and daddy had him spoiled and would get him anything he wanted. Read your Bible, see if I'm not telling you right. Amen. When he didn't want a wife of the Hebrews, they took him down to the camp of the Philistines. But in his death, listen, here's why Samson, I know he got plugged back in. He said, let me die with the Philistines. I've saved myself all these years, but I'm willing to sacrifice Samson if I could just have another touch of the power of Almighty God. I'm willing to give Samson. Are you willing to give yourself, amen, for another touch while we stand? Amen. How many knows I'm preaching right this morning? We're going to have it. And maybe in this youth revival will be a primer for the youth camp. Woo! It wouldn't hurt some of you older preachers when them young children get in and touch God. Say, here, put your hand on me.
Yes, sir.
Pray for me.
That's right.
Amen. Pray for
That's
me.
Right.
A little child shall lead them. Hallelujah. Oh, there's power in prayer. Someone come out with a song not long ago, a year or two ago, said there's power. So much power in prayer. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. You don't believe there's power in prayer? You don't believe God can help people? Some time ago, I was in a foreign country. And they was getting ready to put me in jail. And I didn't did anything. They was just demanding $400 and almost $500, which I didn't have. I'd already paid my bill in full, had the receipt to show it, and they was demanding that much more. The man took my receipt and threw it on the ground. And I don't want to be too bold, but he called it toilet tissue. And he said, that's all our good is for. And I said, that's my receipt showing I've already paid my bill. He said, we're calling policemen. You're going to jail unless you can come up with $471. And the man that was with me, we didn't even have $400 between us. But God had somebody. A woman came out and said, see that car right there? I said, yes. She said, you're trying to get to the United States, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, here's the keys. Put this man that's with you having to put your baggage in the trunk. And when I give you the signal, somebody will be there to drive you to the big airport. We didn't know whether it was a trick or what. But we went ahead because we knew there was no use staying there and going to jail. So I told the man, I said, put the suitcases in that car. Oh, man, we better not. I said, go ahead. Go ahead. Put those suitcases in there. When that woman gave me the signal, she told me, said in Spanish, she said, I'm a Catholic woman. I said, something told me when I sat back in that office to help those two Americans. Help them. When I got home, safe. I visited a little holiness church where there was a, well, she wasn't a little woman. She was as round as she was tall almost. But she was a powerful woman. She told me, said, Brother Rich, I prayed for you every day you was gone. But said, there's a question I got to ask you on a certain day. Said, I always prayed at home. My husband knew I was praying for you. And I got up, I told my husband, I've got to go to the church and pray for Brother Rich today. And he said, now, go ahead and pray for him, but pray right here at home. You've always prayed here at home. She said, no, I've got to go today to the church and wait on God for Brother Rich. She said, now I want to know what happened on this particular day. We got to check in the dates. The time she was there wrestling with the Lord in prayer was the time that God delivered us. Amen. That going to jail. I'll tell you, there's power in prayer. Pump back in. I preached way, way, way too long. You wanted to go to dinner. But when they had prayed, and when they had prayed, that's when the place was shaken. Children, God may want to use you to lead some of us who have became unplugged. Back to the source of strength. Young people, how many want to be used of God? How many want to be used of God? Could I see your hands, young people? You want God to use you. Woo! Hallelujah. How about it, boys? Don't you want to be used by God? Something's got to be done. And we're not going to get it playing bingo and baseball. Horseshoe. So, Brother Rich, are you such a fanatic that you wouldn't even pitch a horseshoe? I'm saying the source of power is in prayer. There may not be nothing wrong with throwing a horseshoe or a baseball or a basketball. I'm not saying there is. But I'm telling you, you'll not get any spiritual strength till you bow these knees before God and offer self on the altar to God. I'm taking too long. But you called me here to preach, didn't you? That's what you called me here to do. Hallelujah. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. We've got to do something. When every 30 minutes, 29 teenagers become hardline drug users. Every 30 minutes. Say, well, yeah, but that's just out in the hole, out of the holiness. I'm talking, telling you, it's coming in to the holiness church. When one marriage out of two plus is ending in the divorce courts, something has got to be done. Do you hear me? When young unwed mothers are committing murder by aborting their unwanted children by the millions, something has got to be done. When those stupid, Lord forgive me, when those unlearned men in spiritual things legislate laws that it's a $5,000 fine to kill an eagle or disturb an eagle's nest, and those same men legislate laws that allow people to kill unborn children, something's wrong with their mentality. Amen. Something has to be done. I know the Bible says, speak not against dignitaries. Amen. I respect my leaders as much as I can. But when they go against God's book, I can find no respect for them. Hallelujah. Something's got to be done. When 10 and 11 year olds are becoming alcoholics, something has to be done. When filth is being pumped into the living rooms by television, by the textbooks in the public schools, when no longer is it a curse to be a sodomite, but you're looked upon as some dignitary, something's got to be done. Woo! We need to take and find the source of power and plug back in. And the only way we can do it is, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When filthy language has become a part of the accepted vocabulary, I don't have a television. Haven't had one since I've been saved. But they tell me, people that do have them, I have some friends that do, they tell me, and they're not even Christians, but they told me not long ago, said the language that comes over those things is not fit to be spoken in a bar room. Now something's got to be done. And then we come to our only source of power is the church. And we're unplugged from that source of power. My Lord, lead us back to the pillars once again. Lead us back where the power's at. Let's come into this altar. Amen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken.